This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily those of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yeah, it's time to empower, educate, and encourage all women to motivate you through. Whatever you've been going through, we can talk about it. We ain't passing no judgment, so don't be ashamed. It's all the same. Stay in your lane. Your lane, it's whatever your real life looks like. Stay in your lane. Come out the dark and don't be ashamed. Your lane, let's have a conversation on what we face every day. Tune into your lane talk show. Just to know we're not alone. No more will we be isolated and cast aside. I want you to come out the dark. Just don't be afraid of your heart. So don't be ashamed, it's all the same. Your lane, it's whatever your real life looks like. Stay in your lane, come out the dark and don't be ashamed. Your lane, let's have a conversation on what we face every day.
Show with Coach Trish Hannah. Hello, good morning. Oh my goodness, I danced that not wrong. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a delight to be in your company once again on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. All right. It is marvelous. It's a beautiful day. Oh, my goodness. This day is beautiful. I literally just came off the flight about a few hours ago from Exuma. What is going on? Like, I know the late Dr. Miles Monroe says that this is the place, the Bahamas is a place where God lives. But I am most certain. Play dominoes in Exuma? I don't know. But the water, so beautiful, so tranquil, so clear. Just wonderful waters. The beach in itself, the clean sand, the people. As soon as you come off the aircraft, they're just greeting you with love and smiles. Listen, God's willing, I will be back in Exuma. I don't know when, but I will be back in Exuma just to say I've been back again because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful place. And so I salute all those who are tuning in at the moment, who are from Exuma, who's like, oh, I want to know more about what your show is about. Yeah, you could come in and tune in. You can tune in and be a part of the show. Your Lane Talk Show, for those who are listening to us for the first time, is aired in Nassau, Bahamas. We're on the Guardian Radio Dial 96.9 FM. This is a show where our mission is to educate, encourage, and empower women of all ages. And of course, that's spirit, soul, and body. This is a faith-based show, but we are also real, we're also relevant, and we are relatable. All right, we talk about things that don't always make it on Sunday's message or in the Sunday's message. But the good thing about it is there's an opportunity for you to call in, text, or, you know, send in your inputs on Facebook or YouTube. And, okay, you can just ask questions to our marvelous guests. We've had so many guests on the show. Doctors, lawyers, pastors, ministers, you know, you name it, we've had it. We have people who have experienced life, because life be life in, right? And they're able to come out and say, look, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. So they come with their testimonies and people are restored, revived, you know, just encouraged on this show. And I give God the glory for it, because we're going to be celebrating 4 years this year. Woohoo! To God be the glory. All right. And let me want to call in or text in. The numbers to call, real quick, let me see if I can put it on our social media platforms for you, for those who may be tuning in. If you want to call in, are the numbers available now, Chris? Okay, so let me just put in the numbers for those who may be wanting to reach at any point of time at this date, 323-6232. 325-4316 or 325-4259. And if you want a text, you can do so at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Now, last week's episode was hair loss, what your body might be trying to tell you. Listen to me, my guest, Dr. Sharon Neely, a.k.a. Fabulous Ronnie. She is a trichologist and another doctor. She is a medical doctor. Dr. Marcia Brown were on the show. They were talking about anything and everything pertaining to our health and the scalp, the hair, how to maintain it. What those who don't know, those who've been greasing their scalp or oiling their scalp frequently, that brings more harm than good because it clogs up the pores, okay? And all those different traditions that mommy used to teach us and grammy used to teach us about our hair, I have y'all to know most of them have been debunked on the show last week, all right? So if you want to go in and listen to that particular show, you can go on YouTube. It's episode 167, Hair Loss, What Your Body Might Be Trying to Tell You, okay? Now, today's conversation is about the most important question any human being will ever answer, which is, what must I do to be saved? All right, any human will ever, we need to know that. We need to know if there is something that we need to do. Can we be saved by our works? Can we be saved by just confession? Can we be saved just by just thinking about it in our minds? We're going to answer all of that today. All right, so just go ahead and just tag a friend, let them know that we're on live, all right, Guardian 96.9 FM radio dial, channel 969 on cable, BTC Flow channel 612, the Guardian Radio app for Android or Apple, or the website www.guardiantalkradio.com. We're also on Facebook, Your Lane Life Coaching, and, well, Your Lane Life Coaching Facebook account, or YouTube, Your Lane with Coach Trish Hanna Live. All right, I also want to share with you, for those who don't know, I had an opportunity to experience the It's Our Turn Team Hope Tour last week with Beijing, of the souls of the children. They visited a few government schools. I was able to attend one, and it was so phenomenal. What I love about Beijing is just her desire for God, like her hunger for God, her energy in itself, and the fact that she's not ashamed of the gospel. And she literally was dancing and getting the children involved, you know, and spreading the joy of the Lord. And then most importantly, she was teaching about hope and the fact that, yes, these children go through so much. Y'all thinking that they just come from home and go into school. Sometimes you have some children who would rather stay in school than to go home because of the turmoil, because of the issues that happen in their homes. That is for another day. I'm going to have her on the show sometime next month so she can explain all about that. She'll talk more about that. But it was a wonderful time to see children standing up and walking towards the altar, or they prepared what's so-called the front of where they were, call it an altar, to give their lives back to Christ or to give their lives to Christ. And it was a beautiful experience. And it was just simple. It was the gospel. They got it. They received it. So I pray that those who are under the sound of my voice will connect with Beijing Rogers at some point, even if it means to find ways, monetary ways to help, or, you know, just support, to pray for the children, or to even help with discipleship. Because, yes, you're saved, but what happens next? If there's no accountability, the enemy would always try to distract that individual to go back into the world. So we need, you know, to ensure that the children go to proper churches or places where they can hear the word of God, the true word of God, without any filter and fluff, right? Good. All right, so Your Lane with Coach Trish Hanna, episode 168. What must buy? John Shoe Store and Accessories, Tropical Gyros, Your Lane Life Coaching, The Children's Dream Journal, which is available at All Seasons Book and Gift Center in Palmdale or on Amazon. We're also brought to you by Lysol, distributed by Thompson Trading, Del Monte, distributed by Thompson Trading, and 242 Media Connect as a talk show host and media professional. I know how hard it is and how hard it can be to find the right guest, the right voice, the right story. But at the same time, we have so many incredible Bahamians with powerful stories and expertise who just need the right platform. So I created 242 Media Connect, a space where media meets message. This platform connects hosts, producers, and event planners with speakers, professionals, and everyday people with impactful stories. It's about access, it's about visibility, and it's about building our media company right here in a media community, rather, right here in the Bahamas. So if you've got a voice or you're looking for one, this is for you. Head over to Facebook and search 242 Media Connect and join the movement. Let's elevate the conversation together. All right, so now, without further ado, I am only introducing this guest or co-host to the one person who just came off of Lil Inagua, you know, because they didn't have much internet service at that time. So now that they're here in Nassau or somewhere else, they can actually understand and know who my guest or co-host is. My guest, co-host, about to add him, right, is Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing. He is a dynamic Bahamian teacher. His profound insights on spiritual warfare and dream interpretation. His teachings, rooted in scripture, bring clarity and understanding to both the spiritual and natural realms. For many years, he has shared his writings in Bahamian newspapers and partnered with ministries worldwide throughout radio, conferences, and workshops. He is the author of the best-selling Prayers That Work and hosts the Kevin L.A. Ewing Spiritual Insight Show on Dove 103.7 FM. Pastor Ewing's ministry is anchored in Hosea 4 and 6 that says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," as he equips believers with wisdom to overcome spiritual battles. He is married to his wonderful and beautiful helpmeet, Mrs. Deidre Ewing, and is the proud father of 5 children. And I forgot the number of grandchildren. Is it 2? Is it still 2? It's 3. My God, where I've been. It's 3 grandchildren, blessed grandchildren. Today is not just another show. This is not a just another show. This is a show and an opportunity that if you're listening with God, you don't have to wait. You know, this is an opportunity where you can come clean and search yourself first. You can come as you are, but you don't have to stay as you are. And one thing I love about grace will meet you where you are, but it will never leave you where it found you, right? So this show is all about grace. We're not condemning anyone whatsoever, but we are just going without the fluff, just teaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ on radio. And yes, it is possible. Yes, it is possible. So we're going to do that, and we're going to ask and allow Pastor Kevin to just take full control. And before, you know, if you want me to ask a question, that's fine. If not, if you want to go ahead straight into talking, that's up to you.
Okay. You can hear me?
I can hear you very clearly.
Okay. Are you giving up?
Okay. We're getting feedback. So as we wait on, I don't know if that's your side or our side, our producer, I'm asking the producer to assist. I guess I can ask a question just for those who may not know or for those who don't have a clear understanding. What is salvation according to the Bible, and why do human beings even need salvation in the first place? So that's the first question or questions, and then we can go from there. You want to say something? Let's see if we still have the feedback, please.
You can hear me, right? You hear me, right?
I can hear you, but I still hear. Yeah. What's going on? StreamYard is muted. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go, producer. Sorry? Okay. He said to keep talking and he'll get it together.
Right.
Help us, Jesus. Go ahead.
Okay. Still getting a little free blood. Yeah.
That's distracting, producer. Yeah. That's distracting. All right, let's take a quick break then. Let's see if we can get this sorted out. Don't worry, the enemy can't win today. Not today. No. Today we're talking about Jesus. No weapon formed against your lane talk show will prosper in Jesus' name. Let's take a quick break.
With Lysol, you can disinfect all surfaces inside and outside your home. When used as directed, Lysol eliminates 99.9% of bacteria, fungus, and viruses. Maintain a healthy home by preventing sickness and keeping infections under control. Don't just clean your surfaces, disinfect them. Lysol does more for you and your family. That's our mission for health. Distributed by Thompson Trading Company.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion and your feet.
You need to turn up the volume. This message is for you.
Where are you in your dream business? Have you published your book as yet? Do you feel fulfilled in life? Need help with time management? Or perhaps a breakthrough in your marriage? I believe we can help. At Your Lane Life Coaching, our professional team will help you discover what you really want and take you from where you are to your desired outcome in your life or marriage. Fulfilling your goals is important to us. Call us today at 376-8689 or visit our website at www.yourlanelifecoaching.com.
Your Lane Life Coaching, discovering pathways to progress.
At the heart of every great meal is a simple yet powerful idea. Quality. At Del Monte, we are committed to cultivating quality, growing the freshest, most nutritious vegetables, fruits, and tomatoes for your family. With non-GMO ingredients and BPA-free packaging, you can trust that every can is packed with goodness. So family dinner, Del Monte brings wholesome flavor to your table. Look for it in your favorite food store. Del Monte, fresh taste, smart choices. Distributed by Thompson Trading.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, everyone. Once again, I do apologize for the technical difficulties. We're going to get it right. We are going to get it right about now. And I have with me a wonderful guest and co-host, Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing from Freeport, Grand Bahama. And we're talking about, you know, the topic is, what must I do to be saved? Okay. And the question before the break was, what is salvation, you know, according to the Bible? And what do human beings even need? Why do human beings even need salvation in the first place? We're doing ABCs today. Pastor
Kevin.
You
can hear me, right?
Yes, very clear. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, beautiful. All right, so
welcome, by the way.
Okay, it's great to be here. I'm so excited about this. Mm-hmm. Really good. But salvation, in a nutshell, and we're going to speak in limited time.
Yes.
Is equivalent to you taking insurance out on your home. So, in other words, what we do when we become a part of this salvation deal with an attendant is basically securing our lives after death. Make sense?
I love that. It makes a lot of sense. It makes more sense to those who know about insurance. Y'all know that's a risk when you don't have it.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So when we all know that when we physically die, our spirits live on. Mm-hmm. The condition in which that spirit will live eternally will be dependent on whether or not we accepted the free gift of salvation. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, with that said, with that word salvation, we get the word saved. Mm-hmm. People say all the time, you saved here, or I've been saved here for more years. And a lot of those who even became saved have very little knowledge of what that means. So to be saved, in layman's terms, simply means that I, Kevin Ewing, have accepted this deal that the Godhead has presented to every human being. In that, whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is saved. So they believe with their heart, confess with their mouth, they are saved. If they have sincerely done that, then they are no longer condemned. Meaning, if they die, they will spend eternity with Jesus. Now, on the flip side, not only are they currently condemned, but the word condemned means to be found guilty and you're sentenced with a punishment. So they're currently guilty, right, of not accepting this deal, they're guilty in their sins, and their sentence will begin the day that they die, which will be 2 days, eternal damnation, eternally separated from God. So let's take it from the top.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to go to what exactly are we being saved from? Right. Because normally you would say, okay, that means I'm not going to heaven. Yeah, that's a part of it. But you are saved from what the scripture calls the curse of the law. Not going to be saying that. If you turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, I'll just pull this up there.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 13.
And verse 13.
So let me pause you for 1 second. For those who don't know Pastor Kevin, he comes to scriptures. So I advise you all, please, if you could take a moment to get a book and so you can write these scriptures down and study them for yourself. Please. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. So in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay? Being made a curse for us, what is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. Now, I have to explain this because so many people get this wrong. And because they get this wrong, they get so many other things wrong when it comes to the gospel. And with one example, a more notable one, is generational curses. So one would say, Trish, once I got saved, I am no longer under generational curse or any other curse. Then they revert to the scripture. Galatians 3:13. They see, they look first. Christ has redeemed us from the law. Mm-hmm. And what they're saying is in time. So what is the curse of the law? Well, going back to the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, the high priest, all of them, they had to do the atonements for our sins with the unblemished sheep and the scapegoat and all this other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And in order for us to be righteous, we would have had to confirm every law. We had to be basically perfect. All right? Because that couldn't happen, this is where the atonement came in, to redeem mankind of their sins, right?
Yeah.
Christ has redeemed us from that. Let me bring that quote here. So let's quickly go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 27.
Deuteronomy.
Look at verse 27. Deuteronomy 27. And verse 27. This is the curse of the law. So it says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do that. Meaning that every human being, just before Jesus, who could not complete and perfect all the laws, the curse. Hence, the atonement and so on had to be done to redeem them of God. So Jesus Christ, God, Jesus Christ, the only person in this world says, what? Jesus.
Okay. You still can hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Jesus is going to volunteer to take on the curse that all humanity was supposed to get, right? Mm-hmm. I will be the sacrifice. I will be the ransom for entire humanity because clearly it is impossible for them to complete every law. So he says the exchanges, the only thing that they have to do is confess me as Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the only begotten Son of the Father. And as a result of that, they are saved, right?
Yeah.
Now, with that said, let's quickly go over here to John chapter 3. Let's go to John chapter 3, where it's going to make more sense now, okay? So John chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 15 to verse 18, okay? So John chapter 3, verse 15 says that whosoever believe in him, being Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. shall not perish, but what are you going to have? Eternal mm-hmm. life. So this is salvation. Salvation is I accept Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son. I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart, I am saved. Okay? Now verse 16 says of John 3, for God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his only begotten Son. Watch this again now, because it's going to be reiterated. That whosoever believe in him, meaning Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, let me put a pin in it before I could carry on, mm-hmm. because we have, again, a lot of misconceptions. So watch this. So let's say you weren't a Christian, Trish. Let's say you weren't a Christian, and by this conversation right here, and you say, why can't I believe all of this stuff? And I accept Jesus. But prior to you accepting Jesus, you are a full-fledged, bona fide alcoholic, a compulsive liar, mm-hmm. and all this other stuff, right? Meaning that you are imperfect. So you accept Jesus Christ, even though you're still going to battle with some of those things going forward. Mm-hmm. You have been made righteous before God because you accepted Jesus Christ. But Kevin, I told a lie. Kevin, I fornicate. Uh-huh. But that doesn't make you unrighteous because you follow the protocol of confessing with your mouth and you believe in God. Now, does that mean we can continue in sin? No. You cannot do that. All right? And I'm doing my best to explain this as literal and plain as possible.
Thank you.
So even though I fall short, I am still saved. Okay? Now, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Verse 17 of John 3. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through his Son might be saved. Now, this is the part I wanted us to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 18. He that believe on him, that's you and I and the rest of us who have accepted Jesus, he that believe on him is not condemned. And remember what that word means. The word condemned means someone who's been found guilty in a case,
mm-hmm.
and now they're going to be sentenced with a punishment. So therefore, you and I are no longer sentenced to eternal damnation and eternal separation from God because we accepted Jesus Christ. Are we perfect? No.
Mm-hmm.
But we did the core thing. We accepted Jesus. Now watch this, okay? So verse 18 of John 3 says, he that believe on him is not condemned, but not. Now I'm talking to those who are there right now who are on the fence. I'm talking about those right now who feel they have tomorrow guaranteed for whatever reason. That's who I'm talking to. Listen what it says. But he that believe not is condemned. Remember what that word means. So if you're condemned, that means you are already judged. Because you didn't accept Jesus. And not only are you already judged, you will begin your sentence the day you die. You're going to be hurled into eternal torment and eternally separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no second chances. There's no purgatory. there's no family members on earth that can pray for you and get you to heaven. None of that. Because however long you lived on earth, you had ample opportunities to secure this.
Yes.
So he says, but he that believed not is condemned already. Then he's going to explain why. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is powerful. Let me tell you why this is powerful. So, especially in our black churches, more so in the Caribbean. In the Caribbean, even here in the Bahamas in particular, salvation to us is attending churches every time the doors are open, having the Holy Ghost. You don't drink, you don't smoke visibly. Let me put quotes on that. You don't do those things visibly. And as long as you give the appearance, you know. Now, who are you going to cuss your children out and you know, you know, and your partners and all that? But once you're in the public, once you're in the church light, once your fellow brothers and sisters see you, you have that aura of righteousness, mm-hmm. as if righteousness is as an external thing. It's really only be given to you from God through accepting Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So what they believe is that they could live secret lives because they say that they're saved. No, I'm mentioning that because people get salvation and the quality of their lives mix up. They think that's a combo package, and it's not. For example, when one say that, Kevin, I hear you talking about these generational curses and so on, but I can be clear with you. Christ redeemed me from the curse, and I'm not under any curses.
Mm.
So I take them back in the Bible, and I say, let's look at what curses are, such as sickness, poverty, and so on. Now, you had that before you got saved. Uh-huh. Did any of that change after you got saved? Well, not really. Well, how come? Because you're not under the curse anymore, according to you. So why is it that those things didn't pack up and walk out? Why didn't cancer say, so long, bye-bye,
mm-hmm.
I heard you accepted Jesus, I'm out of here. Why didn't that happen? And this is where we have the confusion. So when one gets saved, accept Jesus Christ, they have now secured their insurance for when they die. The quality of their lives will be solely predicated on the application of the laws and rules and principles of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why you'd have two Christians, one prospering and doing well, probably just was saved over 5-6 a year ago. And I mean, not only are they on fire for God, they got a promotion on the job, increase in their pay, just got things, just moving. Then you have this Christian over here who's saved for at least 33,000 years minimum, right? Okay. And it appears as if their life is going backwards at 100 miles per hour. And they're trying to figure out, how could this be when I'm at every Sunday service, every Sunday night service, every conference, every conclave. In fact, I read the passages for pastor when he asks someone to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I am always, no matter what the church need, I am there. Yeah, that's beautiful. Now, if the Bible had said that your quality of life would be improved as a Christian, if you go to church regularly, if you cater to the pastor, if you do those things, then yeah, then something is wrong, but it didn't say that. I have to follow the rules. For example, and you know, I talk about this a lot. As a Christian, if I want to change my financial status, mm-hmm. that will never change because I pay tithe. That will never change because I pay an offering. Am I saying you shouldn't be offering? No, you pay, go ahead. But when we look at what the scripture says, as it relates to the quality of my finances as a believer, such as, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack.
Yes.
So this is how we now change the quality. Don't commit to tradition. The quality now I want to change.
Yeah.
And if I want to deal with future problems, let's say 2 years from now, okay, let's say I can peer into the future. Let's say 2 years from now, I see the police coming to my house to lock me up and so on. How can I change stuff in the future through the rules and laws of Scripture now before they even happen? Yes. the Bible says, I think in Job 14, verse 1, it says that a man that is born of woman are but few days and littered with trouble. So you guarantee trouble. Mm-hmm. So can I divert it, or can I mitigate what's inevitably coming my way as a believer? Yes, you can. So in Psalms 41, let's turn there. Psalms 41, because I want you to see this for yourself, and I want people to get the understanding that you could cry, you save all you want. Mm-hmm. If you are not engaging biblical laws, rules, and principles, you're going to become frustrated because you're not going to see changes. So Psalms 41, verses 1 to 3, listen to what it says. It says, blessed is he that considers the poor, or one who would act on behalf of the poor and assisting them or whatever. The Lord, listen to these promises. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Wow. So you're telling me trouble that's looming on the horizon for me, if I engage this law now, I could challenge that trouble. Well, not, I'm not telling you that. The scripture is telling you that. So it says, the poor, the Lord will deliver. The Lord will deliver him in his time of trouble. All right? The Lord will preserve him, keep him alive, and this person shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou, O God, will not deliver him unto his enemies. Meaning, Trish, even if this dude or sister is deserving of it. So you see how the quality of this person's life mm-hmm. will improve. It's promising you that if you follow this rule right here, this is what's going to happen. So this is why you find Christians who are frustrated. You know why? Because they're sowing seeds. They're giving $1,000 this and all of this stuff, and they're trying to figure out, why isn't my life going forward? And I simply say to them, let's go to the scriptures now and let's see what you have been told, if that is biblically sound, because mm-hmm. the quality of your life as a believer of Jesus Christ will only improve when you follow the rules. I'll give you this last one, we will move on. Mm-hmm. So for those Christians who are challenged with lack, listen what the rule book says. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack. He didn't say he that give tithe. He didn't say he that give offering. I'm not telling you, if you want to do these things, go ahead. I'm telling you what the Bible says and what the promise is yeah. pertaining to the New Testament church, right? Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24, it says, another rule, he that giveth shall increase. Okay, so that's the law of increase. And in that same scripture, it gives the law of poverty. And it says, he that holds on to more than what he or she needs, meaning God already bless you and he's given you abundance, but you don't want to share it. So it says, he that holds on to more than what they need shall surely come to poverty. So you see how a Christian could have, but because they don't share, can invite the spirit of poverty in their lives. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm only telling you guys this to show you how life's quality for the believer is altered, not based on their salvation, but based on the laws and the rules and principles that they follow.
That's an interesting fact. And I say that, I want to just pause for a second, because there are a lot of people who give up on God, literally, because they don't feel as if their circumstances are changing. They feel hopeless. Mm-hmm. You know, they give up on life. As we know, so many people have committed suicide because they don't believe that there's hope. And some of which, you sometimes would see these same people in church or going in and out of church. You know, you think that they are believers because they would profess Jesus. But at some point in their lives, they've lost hope. They feel as if the world is just tumbling on them. And as you've mentioned, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, always provision or financial gain, whatever have you, but health, you know, as far as just mental health, as we discussed prior to the show, just being able to clear your mind, being able to know how to come against the wiles of the enemy with our putting on the helmet of salvation and renewing our minds daily. So as you've stated, yes, you could be a believer, but you could still suffer the consequences if you do not apply the rules, laws, and principles of the Word of God. So it is, you can be saved, but you can still be in torment if you don't apply what God says. Correct?
Right, yeah. Right. So Let me give you another scenario. So there are people, for example, let me use a scenario of two friends were invited to the church. Both of them unsafe. Both of them alcoholics. Both of them are sexual people just violating every law of God. Mm. And one of them, while they're in the service, they got saved. All right? They left the place. And the one who wasn't saved told the one that got saved, say, man, listen, you might as well just go to the club before you go and say, man, I ain't going to the club. Man, let's just go to the club. I ain't going to the club. So he ended up going to the club. Remember, he accepted Jesus Christ. He believed in his heart. He confessed in his mouth. Mm-hmm. So he goes to the club. And he actually has a drink with his unsafe friend. A gunman came inside. Boop, 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 boop. Both of them got killed. So if I ask the regular traditional Christian right now, and I say, tell me something, where do you think both of them would spend eternity? In fact, I may not even have to finish the question before they go to hell. They're going straight to hell, one way ticket, that's the end of that, Kevin. So I said, well, why would you say that? Remember now, here, bring it back to the tradition. Mm-hmm. So they're equating salvation to liquor. They're equating salvation to the club. Even though they're exposed to these things every day as believers. This is the average thinking when it comes to salvation. In other words, what I'm saying to you and the general public, they equate the substance of your salvation based on works.
Yeah.
So they said, Kevin, no, all two of them got to hell. I said, no, all two of them did not go to hell. I say, and we ain't gonna argue, let's go back to the rules. In John 3, verse 18. Those who have accepted Jesus are not condemned. But those who did not accept him are condemned. And it says why? Because they have not accepted Jesus. Because to say otherwise, everyone, that's saying to me this, every human being that died in Christ, every one of them left this earth perfect. There was no more sin. Again, let me be clear, because people are quick to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not endorsing sin. I'm not promoting sin. What I'm saying to you, sin should not be the primary thought of the believer. The believer should be more concerned about knowing more about his or her salvation, the benefits, and what I ought to look forward to. Because by default in doing that, sin, you're avoiding sin altogether. You eventually, sin will dissipate from your life. You'll have no more interest for that. So the more you get into the Word of God, not the more you try to avoid sin. And this is where people go wrong. They're trying to, I didn't fornicate today. I've been celibate for the past 2 months as a believer, and I thank God. 2 days later, they fall into sin. They feel condemned. They give up on God. I guess I'm not saved. So they believe when they fornicated, they're not saved anymore. So it now tells you they don't understand salvation. They don't. If your salvation is that weak, think about it for a second. And that's why you have a lot of people listening to me right now. They're on the fence because they're like, boy, I won't really give up this or that because, boy, look here, you mess up with salvation and thing, man. You got to go back to the cross again and get saved. And I remember telling people when I first started ministry, a particular denomination I used to go to when I was younger, and their understanding was that once you get saved, you cannot sin. And if you do sin, you will never save, and you have to go back to the cross to repent again. And I said, with that thinking, I was saved under that particular denomination at least about 4 million times.
because I stay at the altar.
Right. Every time I messed up, I would have to go back and say, Lord, come back into my heart. Jesus, he jumped into your heart. Mm-hmm. The minute you curse or lie, he jumped back out. So he must be extremely athletic to be jumping in and out. And that's not salvation.
So let me pause you right there, Pastor, because I need you to explain this then. What is grace? Because I know that grace has been extended to us, especially Jesus to me.
In fact, I just explained grace about the two guys and the one who died.
Yes,
who,
you did. That is grace.
But, see, that's what this is. Go ahead.
Right. When someone says we have been saved by grace, what does grace truly mean? I know you did it in a way where we can actually see from that aspect. But if we were to you know, verbally state what grace is, can you share with those who don't know?
Yeah. In the simple terms, grace is simply this. that to grace, let me give it to you from two angles. Number one, the mere fact, the gift of salvation is grace. That in and of itself is grace. Meaning that we're not even worthy to be having anything to do with the Lord and the Godhead, the God and the Godhead. However, it's through the grace of Jesus Christ that he sent his son to die, okay? Secondly, the second part of grace is this. Like I told you, both of the guys were having drinks and got shot, but one accepted Jesus, okay? So grace is, because he accepted Jesus, these things that this man did will not be accounted to him to send him eternally into hell. Now, there are many other stuff people come up with grace, but in a nutshell, that is what grace is. Is I, Kevin Ewing, who is deserving of all of the wickedness that I've done in my life, my home at the end of my life should be eternal damnation. The grace of Jesus Christ, or if you accept me as the only begotten Son of God the Father, you are saved. No questions asked. Mm-hmm. All I want you to do, Kevin, is live according to my rules. Now, Kevin, there are days where you're going to mess up, all right? The days you're going to mess up, and this is what I want you to do. 1 John 1:9. Kevin, if you confess your sin, I, God, am faithful and just enough to cleanse you of your sin. Forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. So we say, Kevin, repent, get up, move on. But God, I fornicated. God, I committed adultery. God, I did this. And the church telling me this. We're not interested in what the church have to say. We are interested in what the Bible have to say. Because you could get right back into that same tradition again, which is going to guarantee you hell if you don't watch out. And that is, well, Pastor Kevin didn't see me sweethearting. So I could continue come to church and raise holy hands. So you see now, I'm not concerned about my heart anymore. I'm concerned about how I appear righteous before others. And this is the message I want to pound into people. See, your true righteousness is what you do when none of us are around. And this is where this gospel, or not gospel, but this doctrine of covering becomes a trap for people, which I despise. You know why? Because, and right here in the Bahamas, it's prevalent throughout the Caribbean. Everywhere I've been to minister, I've seen this nonsense. Mm-hmm. Because people now are more concerned about what their covering see them doing as opposed to God, who's watching them 24/7. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this guy? He's supposed to be a deacon, right? He buy his sweetheart house. He about to leave the house. He saw his pastor car bang through the corner. He jumped back in the house, jumped underneath the bed, and tell his sweetheart, listen, tell me when pastor car passed. But God was watching him all along. So he is more fearful of his religious leader, quote unquote, uncovering, as opposed to the eternal God, the only one who could cast us in heaven or hell based on how we live. That person is more concerned about their covering, viewing them, as opposed to God who's watching them 24/7. So again, when we reel this all back in, salvation is the deal that God has given us, that whosoever believe in his son, if I believe in Jesus Christ, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. According to the Bible, I am saved. Now, just to divert a little, I want to now bring in baptism, because I'm sure there are people out there, well, he mentioned baptism, right? And this is very interesting because there are people who actually believe that if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you are not saved until you are baptized, which is utter nonsense. Mm-hmm. Okay? Baptism isn't a criteria for heaven. If I accept Jesus Christ, if I wasn't saved right now, and let's say I had a heart attack and died, I will go to heaven. Because baptism is just a physical demonstration of me being immersed in Christ. But I already did all of that spiritually. And the greatest example of this, to validate what I'm saying, is the thief on the cross with Jesus. Mm-hmm. When he accepted Jesus, there's no record where Jesus convinced the Roman guards to take him and this guy down so he could at least baptize him before their souls departed. So I'm not telling people don't get baptized. Of course, Okay, I got some people lined up now who want me to baptize them. I approve baptism. The Bible says so. But what I'm saying is that it's not a requirement for heaven, meaning that if you, because people right now who've been saved, but they didn't get baptized and they're not sure if they're saved. You are saved. You've just read it. That's why I gave you the scripture, John 3, mm-hmm. verses 16. It says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him, that person is saved. End of story. Okay? Yeah. Now, if go ahead and get baptized. What I'm saying to you, if you didn't get baptized and you pass away, you are still bound for heaven like the person who did get baptized.
I know that there are people out there who need to hear this, and I'm going to go right back to scratch. You shared all of that as far as baptism is concerned, you know, as far as grace is concerned. But I just for someone out there who may want to give salvation a try, but they may not know the story, what did Jesus actually accomplish, Pastor Kevin, on the cross when he said, it is finished? But even before you say that, because I wanted to ask that question when you were talking about, when you said people were saying, oh, they can't have any curses and all this other stuff. But I want you to share just briefly, you know, the purpose of Jesus Christ coming on the earth and shedding his blood for us. So we're going to start there. Do you want us to take a call before you start this, or you want to start this? Okay, 1 second. Your Lane Talk Show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Coach, and good afternoon to Pastor Kevin.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I was hearing you explain everything. With baptism, I understand you don't baptism to be saved. So, can you explain what are the benefits of baptism?
I don't know what the benefits are. What I do know is that baptism is in the Bible, and I'm not discouraging anyone from being baptized. In fact, I encourage it. What I was clarifying is that I've met many people. In fact, there's a particular denomination right in the Bahamas that believes that once you, if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that you are not saved until you are baptized. And that is not true, because I gave the scripture. I gave the scripture that gives us the core as it relates to salvation. That is, if we accept the only begotten Son of God, the Father, which is Jesus Christ.
No, I understand all of that. Okay, so seeing that you can't explain to me what are the benefits of baptism, what is the definition of baptism then?
What do you mean the benefits of baptism? I mean, we're talking about salvation right now, and I'm talking about the requirement for salvation. I think you're one of those people, I guess, you believe that being baptized is also...
No, I'm not one of those. No, I'm just listening, and I think the conversation is very interesting. I just wanted to hear what you have to say about the benefits of baptism.
The only benefit, I wouldn't even call it a benefit. It's part of the salvation package, I guess you could call it. But the core thing here is accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Right.
If I'm asked if one should be baptized, yes, they can be baptized. Is it mandatory for salvation? Absolutely not.
Right. All right, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, caller. Right. Thank you for tuning in. Pastor Kevin, thank you. And just for those who may be on Facebook, my computer went completely blank, completely, and it will not turn back on. But we're still on air, and this message is still going to take place, all right? So, Pastor Kevin, I want you to share with us the purpose of Jesus Christ coming on this earth to shed his blood for us and what it means. At the end of that, you will share what it means when he said that it is finished.
Right. Again, when he said, I'll even take it from the bottom, bring it up back to the top.
Sure.
When Jesus said that it was finished, what is finished is through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, he is reconciling us back to God. We were separated from God, Trish, because of what Adam did in the garden. What Adam did in the garden brought the curse of the law upon us. Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, that's what he did in the garden. So when Jesus said it was finished, meaning that we don't have to go to a high priest anymore doing the atonement. In fact, the book of Hebrews said that now, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, once we accept that deal based on his sacrifice and giving of himself, becoming the ultimate sacrifice for us, we can now boldly go before the throne of God. We don't need a high priest. We don't need to pull back no veil. We don't need. So this again, when it comes to this covering foolishness, when you put a man before you in Christ, that is idolatry. The scriptures are very clear. Christ is the head, then the man, then the woman, and God is the head of Christ. The other scripture says that there's but one mediator, mm-hmm. one middleman between us and God. And it's very clear. It didn't say your pastor. It didn't say your apostle. It didn't say your prophet. And I know many people upset when I say this, but this is all scripture. Mediator between you and God. Remember, according to, I think, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it was through Jesus who knew no sin, who became sin for us, mm-hmm. that we were reconciled back to God, and we were made righteous through Jesus to God. Your pastor didn't do that for you. I couldn't do that for you. No apostle could do that for you. So when people come with this covering garbage to me, it upsets me because it's like you blatantly saying, oh, I got to go through this one. No, you could go to God just like your pastor, just like Kevin, just like Trish and so on. So what Jesus Christ did on the cross was made the opportunity possible mm-hmm. for anyone in humanity who want to live eternally with him, accept him as Lord and Savior. And when he said it was finished, meaning that the opportunity has now been presented for any human being to accept that offer, and God will not discriminate. Anyone now could grab a hold of it. Salvation.
I love that. I love that. Anyone. But as the Word of God said also, that you can't just randomly show up. I remember when I was younger, Pastor Kevin, and I'm most certain that there are so many other people who felt the same way. I always thought that, you know, I was given time. Like, I'm going to wait. I'm going to live my life. Now, thank God for my mom who taught me, you know, the Word of God, who taught me how to pray, etc. But somehow along the way, as a teenager and, adolescent, you know, I still found it fitting for me to still go in the club, just like you said. And I've actually been in situations where there was guns, you know, shooting in alcohol beverage in my hand and trying mm-hmm. to speak in tongues at the same time. I don't right. know who does that. But, you know, praying at the same time. I've been in situations where, and I thank God for grace, that I would be in the club until about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I better get up for church because mommy ain't gonna have me sleeping in the bed talking about I ain't going to church. So I'd be in the church, and God forbid, and I thank God once again for his grace. There are times that I end up in the choir after coming from the club, or dancing, you know, praise dance, liturgical dancing after coming from the club. And I don't know if anyone else is worse than I am, but let me tell you something. I did take advantage of grace, and what was keeping me obviously was his grace, but the enemy kept on saying to me, man, you know, if anything were to happen, you just wait the last minute and just repent. That's all. You just wait. It's okay. You could just live your life, but you could just repent as soon as something happened to you. So I want you to talk a little bit about that for those who may be in that same situation that feels as if, yeah, I've grew up in a church. I know what the Bible says and all this other stuff, but I still want to do whatever I want to do. You know, I don't really care to live a holy life. I don't really care to live a righteous life, because the Bible says if you don't pursue holiness, you will not see God.
Right. Trish, before I do that, right, let me ask you this question. And this, I guess, is a rhetorical question. Mm. Let's say you sin today and you go home tonight and you didn't pray, or at no point did you ask God to forgive you. Remember, you are a Christian. And let's say you pass away in your sleep. Do you think you will spend eternity with God? You told a lie. You went to sleep. You didn't say, God, forgive me.
I know you made mention that we are saved and then that is possible. That's why I'm actually literally, personally, honestly, and I'm glad that you're going to come and help me with this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And let me tell you why I say that, because there are some people who harbor unforgiveness, but they still saved, but they don't, I mean, based on what I've been told, they don't end up making it to heaven because they're holding on to grudges and unforgiveness. You know, them people who die and come back, I'm referring to the only by their testimony, because they you know, didn't live a holy life.
Mm-hmm. So let me explain this to you. And I only said that so because I can bring more clarity to what I'm going to say. All right. So again, remember, you read it just as well as I did. The Bible says here, and I'm going to turn there again. I'm going to go back to John chapter 3. Let's go back to John chapter 3 again. And we're going to look at verse 18, and we're going to read it carefully. And this is in red, meaning this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, "He that believe on him is not condemned." Remember what that word means. It means to be judged, found guilty, and you are punished with a sentence. He that believe on him is not condemned. Listen, but he that believe not is condemned already. Okay? And it says why? Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So watch this, Trish. Mm. Some time ago, I did a teaching similar to what we're talking about right now. And I said to people, I said, listen, people do not go to hell for sin, even though they are sinners in hell. Came after me and I said, hold on, listen to what I'm saying. If people went to hell for sin, Trish, every last one of us are going to hell for sin. This is now going to make you understand what you did when you accepted Jesus, okay? People go to hell because they did not believe in the only begotten Son. That is why they're going to, you just read it. You are condemned, not because of your sin. You sin every day. Okay? But you are different from anybody else. Why? Why? Because you accepted Jesus. Now, the flip side to that is this. Mm. There's what you call those, because remember, salvation is a heart condition thing. We believe, and remember, those who believe in their heart and confess with their mouths, they are saved. So there are people, Trish, who are saved, who are alcoholics, those who just got saved, right? There's a thing called people who are comfortable in their sin, meaning that clearly there hasn't been a change in their heart. But then there are those who are struggling. Boy, Kev, I cannot stop this thing. Kev, I love God. I pray. When I read that Bible, it's like something come over me and I love it. But it's like this strong thing on me that makes me go back to have a little drink here and there. The average traditional believer will condemn that person. I won't this make sense. So listen to what he said. He that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already. Why? Because they didn't say because he sinned. It says because they did not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So let's back this up. Let's go over here to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And I know a lot of people having issues with this because they're traditional. And they believe, they'll tell you, I've been saved for X amount. We don't care how long you were saved, man. That mean nothing. That have nothing to do with your heart. Mm-hmm. Did you make the right decision with your heart? So in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, listen what Paul says. There is therefore now, what you read there?
No
condemnation to them which are who? In Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Watch this. Verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, meaning my salvation, had made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? The curse of the law. So what does this mean, Kevin? It means exactly what it says. So if we go back to Romans chapter 7, because when you read Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, and what we just read, is going to make perfect sense. So Paul, this is the same guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He talked about how he was having this battle. every he ended up doing something wrong and how upset he got. And then at the end of that, he says, "Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from this flesh," or whatever the case may be. But then he comes over in Romans chapter 8, he says, "Hey, I'm safe now. There is no condemnation." Meaning that he was saying, you know, if I do this wrong, I go into hell. No, 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 no. God looks at the heart of men. There are people out there who make foolish mistakes as believers. There are people out there who are struggling as believers, overcoming strongholds, being addicted to alcohol, to drugs, to sexual immorality. And it's so hypocritical of them when they have been delivered, when they've been delivered to take a pulpit or a podium or a mic and condemn those who are struggling. I'm like, look at this hypocrite. You got saved. You've been saved for 10 years. The first 5 years, you were struggling, trying to overcome your whatever vices you had. The grace of God preserved you. You're not delivered from it. So here's what I'm basically saying. Mm-hmm. People who face vices and addictions and bad habits after they got saved, that doesn't mean they're not saved. They don't have a salvation problem. They have a deliverance problem.
Okay, I get it. I totally get it. But I know that there are some scriptures, and this is only, I'm so glad because you're teaching me as well. So just have a little patience with me so I can get it, all right? I know that there are some scriptures that talk about, you know, those who lust, those, you know, who have unforgiveness and all these other things, you know, will not peace and all these other things. So what you're saying is the heart posture, which makes the difference. Both of them are saved. Yes, but the one that continues in his sin without repentance, is that the one that you're saying that, you know what I mean, it will still not make it to heaven?
Right. Well, just to quote you, Romans, I think it's Romans chapter 1, which you're referring to, and it talks about the adulterer, the liar, and all these other people have their part right. All right? Now, before you get to that, it says clearly, the unrighteous. Then it begin to itemize them. So it's not talking about someone who've accepted Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Because someone who've accepted Jesus Christ, truly from their heart, the Spirit of God is now going to work with that person to help them overcome whatever vices that they have. My question to you in the audience, what happened if that person died? God is looking at the heart. Remember what God said to Samuel, when he sent Samuel to Jesse's house in 2 Samuel 16, verse 7, sent him to go pick out the next king after Saul had disobeyed him. Tall, handsome sons, who all of them look like king material, and God told him, no, none of them. So Samuel asked Jesse if he had any other children. So he went and he bring this ruddy-looking fella, David. So Samuel was confused, like, God, I mean, what's going on here? And God said to him, he says, I am not like humanity who looks at the outward appearance, but I, God, looks at the heart. And that's why many people who you see prancing up on these pulpits screaming God have a separate lifestyle from that is contrary to what they claim to believe. Yeah. And this is why Jesus said, on the day of judgment, many are going to say, Lord, haven't I done miracles in your name? Haven't I preached the gospel? Haven't I won souls? And he's going to say, depart from me. Why? Because he's assessing you according to your heart.
Thank you. That's what I needed. That is what I needed. And that's what I needed us all to know, is the heart. It's the heart posture.
Right.
All
right. So we can't judge people. You can't. It's easy to say, oh, you all need to go get saved. And why? You say, because you will save X amount of years. Some people that I speak to, Kevin, you can't tell me nothing because I as a woman have been saved for a whole 30 years. I would say before you was this, you was that. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does that, at the end of the day, what does that mean to you? You think when you stand before God and God begin to lay out your charges to you, then you're going to say, well, God, how could that be? And I was saved for 30, 40, 50 years. Yeah, you were saved, but your heart was full of malice. Imagine this. For 30 years of being a Christian, you couldn't stand your in-laws. You wasn't speaking to your family members. You refused to forgive them. Now you see? Because a true Christian, a true believer of Jesus Christ, cannot be comfortable with unforgiveness, cannot be comfortable with practicing obeying the dark and raising holy hands on Sunday. It cannot be comfortable. So the truth is, you...
Ooh, Lord! Oh, thank you, sir. I need it. I mean, if it's only for me, all right? Because I honestly was getting a little confused. It's the heart posture. It's no way that you can be, because even in my sin, I was still feeling bad about it. I was still coming back to say, God, I'll never do it again. Please help me. You know, I was still, my heart was still wanting to be with God because I knew him. But then the flesh and I, you know, we were battling until I asked for complete and asked him to deliver me. Mm-hmm. And it was a process, but it took place. It's the heart posture, y'all.
That's why we want to get people saved. We're not about, oh, you still drink. You can't wear this tight-up skirt. I'm not interested in that. Let's get that heart saved.
Come on,
see, once that heart gets saved, man, we can wait from there.
Yeah.
Because he says, those that believe in Jesus Christ is not condemned. So when I see Christians and so on judging people, oh, look at her with a tattoo on her breast. Or, buddy, what are you all up in that for? We dealing with the heart. Once we get the word of God in that heart to help mature them, to cause them to see things differently, you can't impose your will on them. No, just how you are to come around to stop smoking cigarette or marijuana or stop watching pornography. That was a process. Salvation is a process. Yes, I am saved, but I continue to improve through that. I could tell you of a handful of things that I was dealing with when I got saved. And I can say it here right now because I tell people this all the time. And I say it because not only to show how real I am, because there are people out there listening to me who are on the fence about this God thing because of tradition.
Yeah.
After I got saved, I fornicated more as a Christian, I want you to hear me, than as a sinner.
Testify.
I won't be clear here because, and God, that and many other things, I needed deliverance. Yeah. I was saved. I won't be clear here. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 9b, it says, through knowledge shall the just or the saved be delivered. So being saved and deliverance don't come as a package deal. Oh, you get saved, I already secure my heart. Okay, now let's deal with the quality of my life. That's where deliverance come in. I needed to be delivered from sexual immorality.
Yes.
I needed to be delivered from a negative mindset and a poverty mindset. I had to be delivered from that. It didn't happen overnight. However, had I died, I was still going to heaven. Why? Because the Bible says those who believe is not condemned. My heart was to do right, not to stay in my sin and be comfortable and feel comfortable sleeping with the church sisters and going to church and raising holy hands with no intention of improvement. No, that's why I tell you there's a difference between those who are comfortable in their evil, who clearly are not saved, and those who are struggling, meaning that I am convicted and I hate doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Even though I just finished praying, Lord, forgive me, and tomorrow I go do it, this is tormenting me to the point I got to give this up. So that's the difference. And that's why I said that person who died in that particular situation, they are going to heaven because they did what the other party didn't do. And that is they accepted Jesus Christ.
Yes. Thank you so much. Now, we only have a few minutes left, but just if you can, real quickly, you know, Jesus was telling his disciples, hey, if you would come after me, you have to deny yourself. If you could just briefly share, what does it mean to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus?
Basically, what we're talking about right now, once I pick up my cross and follow Jesus, I'm denying the lust I once loved. I'm denying the lies. I don't want nothing to do with these things anymore. I take up the cross or God way of doing things, and I want to commit myself to this. This is what I want to commit myself to. Now, somebody wrote, I just had a peep at it just now, what about those who take years to be delivered? And I want to be clear, and I'm glad that person brought it up. I want to be clear here. Every day, the Holy Spirit is tugging at you. In fact, Jesus said that he is the Spirit of truth, and his job is to guide us into all truth, remind us of the things that Jesus has said, and to convict us. Now, there are those who are being convicted, but they're comfortable in their sin. Don't mix that up with the person who's struggling. See, the person who's struggling have a stronghold that needs to be broken to release them, and they're working towards that. The other person say, child, oh, God ain't finished with me yet. No, you're comfortable there. You have no problem being in that position. Well, I say, if I ain't checking, no. Remember, God is looking at your heart, and this is where our people are misguided. What you put on the outside, your white dress, your white garments, the raising holy hand, the Easter Sundays, the Jesus, whatever you're doing, none of that means anything if your heart have not been surrendered to God. And if it's truly been surrendered, you are compelled to want to do right. Absolutely. You cannot be comfortable in lust, pornography, fornication, sweethearting, telling lies, unforgiveness. It is impossible for a true believer of Jesus Christ to be comfortable in that position.
Amen. And because we're now 4:47, we got a few more minutes left, but I wanted you to pray for those who may want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, and then for those who are struggling, who may be saying, you know what, yeah, I really want to go back to Christ. I mean, you know, I want to live right. I want to live a righteous life as best as I know how, but I am struggling. I want to be delivered and set free from all these different sins that are keeping me bound or trying to keep me bound. So I'm going to use this time for Kevin, and then we'll just end the show with whatever minutes we have left. Please.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come before you today with thanksgiving, with praises, with honor, and with glory. Primarily, Father God, thanking you eternally, eternally for the free gift of salvation. Yes. Thank you, Father God, for this exchange whereby Jesus Christ, who became the ultimate sacrifice for humanity, so that everybody will be on the same level. And the only thing that we have to do is believe in our hearts, confess with our mouths, and according to John 3:16, we are saved. No questions asked. So, Father, I'm praying for those right now who are listening, and those who will listen to this recording in the future, those who are on the fence, those who feel that they're going to be giving up so much to submit to Jesus. Father, I pray that that same Holy Spirit that would have drawn all of us who have accepted the free gift of salvation will also draw them even now, and that they would surrender and accept you as Lord and Savior. Now, Father God, I also pray that you, Father God, will have mercy on them further and do complete deliverance, that they won't have to pray to really getting it right in terms of our salvation. We pray for their deliverance, and we pray that you would now catapult them into their calling, into their destiny, and whatever it is that you have already ordained for them to do during their time here on this earth. I pray for those who are coming out of other religions, Islam or whatever else, Father God, Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes, that you, Father God, would open up their dark understandings to hear your marvelous gospel, this beautiful gift of salvation. There's no other way to get to heaven. There's no other way to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ outside of coming through him. Your word declares, Father God, that our righteousness are as filthy rags, meaning that even if we spend the rest of our lives before we die without trying not to sin at all, your Bible says the best of our righteousness are as filthy rags to you. So on our own, we could never be righteous enough. Hence, Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin, became sin. He took on what we should have been experiencing. And the only thing that we have to do to become righteous instantaneously, and that is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are made righteous. We are made righteous through Jesus, meaning when we accept Jesus, even though we got these vices going on, even though we got the lying spirit, the generational curses, the cancer, the poverty, whatever, as far as God is concerned, because we've accepted his son, we are righteous. So, Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation that secures righteousness. And we pray, open up our dark understanding, especially those who are saved already, but are living under tradition, meaning that they're limited in the quality of their lives because they're subscribing to things that your rules and your laws and principles have not said. So, Father, let your will be done in their lives. Let them be catapulted into their destiny. And we pray for their salvation right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Wow, so powerful. I seal everything with the blood of Jesus. Thank you so much, Pastor Kevin. Now, I want you to share with us how people can reach you. You can share all your social media platforms and then talk a little bit, if we have time, we have about a minute, about your book and where people can find your book.
Okay, great. So for those of you who are hearing me or watching me for the first time, I'm on YouTube under Kevin L. Ewing, Pastor Kevin L. Ewing, also as well as Facebook. I have a prayer page, a private page, as well as a ministry page. I'm also on X, formerly Twitter. I have a blog site, kevinleewing.blogspot.com. I also have a website, kevinleewing.com, where you can find my books, my merchandise store, and all that other stuff there. I also have an app. Mm-hmm. A lot of people find this app because I have a lot of prayers on there, plus a lot of dream interpretation. Yeah. And whether it is Android or Apple, just type in Kevin L. Ewing app and it will bring both, whatever one suits you. That my book can be found on Amazon, and that is Prayers That Work, as well as my webpage. My book is sold at All Seasons there in Nassau. Mm-hmm. I got to send a batch there because I think they told me they ran out of them. Right. So I'll be sending the next week and a half or so, sending a batch up there to them. But the book is all about believing. When you pray, you don't be bombarding God with what you've been asking for over and over. What you do is you find the relative scriptures to now add to what you want, and now you give God that. And you're only following the rule book that says, but God says, remind him of his word.
Yes, that part. And the reason why I want you to place emphasis on that book is because, as you stated initially, yes, you could be saved and still go through certain things, the cancer, mm-hmm. you know, the poverty and all these other things. But we have prayer books like Pastor Kevin that has the template with scriptures. And so that's how the enemy move, you know. The enemy can just go, but shoo boy, move from around here. No. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. That's what slice and dice him to pieces. That's when we declare a thing, it shall be established. When we declare the word of God, when we use the word of God, the angels go forth and do the bidding. All right. God says to remind him, as Pastor Kevin says, remind him, but his word will remain. Okay. And so that word is, you're doing two things. You are slicing and dicing the enemy, and you're reminding God, who, of course, has no other choice but to surrender to what your request is according to his will, so that you would understand that he would get the glory through your prayers, all right? Promises, and that's what it takes. Everything in the spirit goes according to rules, laws, and principles. Ask me how I learned that. Oh, okay. All right. My very own pastor, teacher, and mentor, Pastor Kevin L. Ewing, who teaches so wonderfully, and I'm so grateful because, honestly, at the beginning, I was a little bit confused, and I thank you for just clarifying that and the revelation that you brought. I give God praise for you for that. And I also want to take a moment, I'm going to get a couple seconds left, to salute Mrs. Deidre. Okay, now we didn't do that at the beginning of the show because we wanted to make sure we get everything out for the people of God. So salute her for me for a couple seconds, please. Honor your wife.
Definitely. Yeah, I don't do nothing but honor
that's your thing.
Shout out from my sweetie pie, my queen. I do absolutely nothing but honor. She's a strong person in ministry. Yes. Doing a lot of teaching now. I don't know if you know that. She's doing all kinds of teaching now.
I saw the flyers.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I thank God for her, and I thank God that she's an incredible support, because you know me, I'm extremely busy. Mm-hmm. And she really fits in to really, really support me in everything that I do.
Yes, we salute you, ma'am. All right. Is there anything else that you want to share, Pastor Kevin? I don't know if there is a text that I don't know if you want me to share this, and perhaps you can share it. You want me to share it? Because I don't know if there's something that you...
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So real quick, it says, knowing the heart and sinning is two different things. He knew Adam, meaning God, knew Adam's heart, and yet he put him out of the garden because of sin.
Hindu Adama. That don't make no sense, man. I ain't got time for no foolishness.
Okay, I just anyway, wanted to know.
Right. I again, you know me, I don't debate scripture. No. I give scripture to everything that I support. It's totally up to the person to go and look it up. But I'll leave with this, and I'm going to say it again.
Mm-hmm.
People do not go to hell because of sin. That's not the primary reason, because they are sinners in hell. People go to hell, and this is based on John 3, verse 16. People go to hell, or they're condemned, because they have not accepted Jesus Christ. John 3, verse 18, sorry. So again, people are in hell not because of their sin. People are in hell because they did not accept the only begotten Son. Because it says, those who did not accept him, they are condemned, meaning that they have been found guilty, and now they have eternal torment to be faced with, now, eternal separation from God.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's clear. Any last minute? That's what you wanted to say, because we have like
two minutes. I wanted to put emphasis on, so people can get a full understanding and go do their study.
You want to share any of your itineraries, or any of your studies for this week?
Well, actually, I'm supposed to be doing a teacher later on. For those who don't know, I was doing a series on love spells. A lot of witchcraft going on, where people fixing people and so on to make them love them. I've already did part one and part two. I'm concluding this last one. And that's going to be hopefully by, I think, 9 o'clock tonight, or 8:30, probably 8:30.
8:30 Eastern Standard Time. And once again, share your social.
Right. So that'll be on YouTube as well as Facebook at 8:30. We'll be wrapping up on how to overcome these love spells, and how a Christian could be overcome by love spell, and why it's happening to them. So it's going to be very, very interesting. A lot of people have been emailing me on it, because I was supposed to do it from 2 weeks ago, but there's so much going on. So definitely tonight I'll be wrapping that up.
I love that. Yes. And so we can go to Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing on YouTube. That's what it is?
On YouTube. Yeah, just type in Kevin L. Ewing, as well as Facebook.
For 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right. Thank you so much, Pastor Kevin. As always, you always come and you enlighten us, and you refresh us, and you give us the word so that we could study and apply it for ourselves. And I give God thanks for you and your presence and your obedience and your yes. Your Lane, episode 168, What Must I Do to Be Saved, with Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing. You can go to www.yourlanelifecoaching.com for your life and relationship coaching. We're also brought to you by John's Shoe Store and Accessories, Tropical Gyros, Lysol, distributed by Thompson Trading, Del Monte, distributed by Thompson Trading, The Children's Dream Journal, and 242 Media Connect. Now, next week, we're going to use the same broadcast. We're going to bring the same broadcast back. God's willing, what must I do to be saved? Because I believe this needs to be, even if you listen to it today, listen to it next week as well, all right? Thank you to my producer, Chris. Thank you to your Lane listeners and new listeners. Please like and follow the page before you leave. I hope that you continue to stay in your lane. I am Coach Trishana, and we are on air every Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. I pray that you were all empowered, educated, and encouraged to stay in your lane today. Walk in your purpose and allow God into your heart today. Believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. All right, until next time, happy Sunday. God bless you.
With Lysol, you can disinfect all surfaces inside and outside your home. When used as directed, Lysol eliminates 99.9% of bacteria, fungus, and viruses. Maintain a healthy home by preventing sickness and keeping infections under control. Don't just clean your surfaces, disinfect them. Lysol does more for you and your family. That's our mission for health. Distributed by Thompson Trading Company.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles, with new arrivals every the whole family, and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
At the heart of every great meal is a simple yet powerful idea. Quality. At Del Monte, we are committed to cultivating quality, growing the freshest, most nutritious vegetables, fruits, and tomatoes for your family. With non-GMO ingredients and BPA-free packaging, you can trust that every can is packed with goodness. So whether it's a quick snack or a hearty family dinner, Del Monte brings wholesome flavor to your table. Look for it in your favorite food store. Del Monte, fresh taste, smart choices. Distributed by Thompson Trading.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyro is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.